Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Shlomo Freund with Free Financial Self. Welcome.
Great being here. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Lee, for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Free Financial Self. How are you serving folks?
So I'm a financial coach, and I help digital nomads to organize their money to reach financial freedom faster. It's basically helping them visioning their life long term and then make sure that they get the goals that they want for themselves.
So now, how does this come about for yourself?
So I am a digital nomad or remote worker, or each person defines it, you know, individually, by myself. So we're location independent. I've been very passionate about finance and travel and investment for many years. I'm a son of a travel agent, and since a very little age, I'm reading the financial part of the newspaper first. So I became very interested in these. And about jumping fast forward 3 years ago, I have another company in China, and my partner decided that he's going to be the one managing it. So I had the chance of opening my passion company and helping people achieve those things and build what they want for themselves, their desired lifestyle. So there is a lot of commitment and a sense that that's a good thing for the world. So I want to help more people with this.
So now, how much of choosing that lifestyle is kind of a mindset shift to saying, okay, you know, you don't have to land in one place and develop roots and be part of the community, but this kind of travel where you'd like and kind of land wherever you are and build friends and family there, or just follow friends and family wherever they are. Like, how much of it is just kind of a mental shift on the, kind of what society is pushing you towards?
So there is some mental shift here. When we started traveling, people said, oh, why you're going for so long? So we kind of in the middle, we do what we call workation. So that's 2-3 months every time we travel, and then we go back to our home base. And then after a few months, we do it again. So the first time what we did it was, okay, that's a long time. And now by the fourth or fifth time, they're already asking us, okay, when you're going again, where are you going? Things like that. But it, you know, and also among the our community or people we know, we kind of a little off or weird. Not weird, not weird in like, you know, behavior, but just our lifestyle is not very common, of course.
Now, so what does kind of a year look like? Is every year look the same? Like you go back to a home base, you travel for a month or two, go back to a home base, travel for a month or two. Is that a typical rhythm of a year, or it could be, you know, never come back to home base for 5 years? Like, how has it kind of mapped out for you so far?
So we did the, we lived in China for 3 years, but that was more of, you know, live and not so much of a location independent. That was more of an expat lifestyle. But now it's more of usually once a year, it's those a few months. And then whenever we get the next chance, if it's two times a year, great, then we do that. Now with COVID, unfortunately, we're in Israel at home, and we're not doing that right now, of course. So it's more complicated.
Right. So now you're kind of having a more traditional life, living in one place for an extended period of time.
To that extent, yes, but we still both work remotely. We work from home then, and we're homeschool our daughter. So it's kind of, it will be still be the same, you know, day to day, even when we are traveling, because it will be, again, homeschooling and being with a family in a place and kind of live there. You know, you get the living experience. It's not about traveling and sightseeing. It's about living a place, getting to know it, so you're staying for an extended amount of time in one place and really experience it.
So now, as part of this strategy, do you have like kind of a permanent home base that you own a home somewhere and then you're coming back to and then maybe rent it out while you're not there? Or is this something that you never have a permanent home and you're just kind of bouncing from location to location?
So up to a few years ago, we lived, we rented out, and now we somehow have a home. We built a yurt, and we do rent it out when we are traveling. So that's, of course, help funding the traveling too.
So is that the strategy you recommend, is to have some permanent kind of home base and that is a place where you kind of can come back to? Or is it possible to, you know, if you plan properly, to just build in kind of renting as part of a, you know, an expense, and that it doesn't matter if you're paying for rent at your home or you're paying for rent at an Airbnb, you know, across the globe?
So, of course, it makes it easier when you're covering your rent somewhere around the globe with something that you have, but it's not necessarily that you have to have it. Some places around the world are very affordable to stay, especially for people who come from developed countries. So you can still prepare and plan for that. It's not that you have to. It just makes life easier, of course.
So now, what should a person or a family budget for kind of living expenses if they are going to choose this kind of lifestyle?
Wow, that's a good one. It's so dependent on where they're going. I can tell you about that we lived in Thailand, three people under $1,000 a month. So that was, you know, parents and one child. And I can tell you about another trip where we had 2 months in Portugal, where we had basically it almost all covered up with different things. We had an Airbnb. My wife had a retreat with our company in Portugal, so they paid for a ticket. It was the oldest thing. And basically 2 months cost probably no more than $200 or $300 for, again, three people. So you can do these kind of things. Of course, if you want, I spoke with a friend the other day, and she was planning a trip to Thailand and Southeast Asia and that area, and she planned a whole lot more than what we spended. And I told her, you know, it's kind of too much unless you really want, you know, 5-star straight on for a year or for 3 months, whatever period. But that was, you know, crazy. So it really depends what you're aiming for, basically.
Now, for somebody who's new to this lifestyle, is there kind of a way to ease into it, to test the waters, to see if this is something that's going to be a fit?
Yes, of course. So many people, you know, hearing the word digital nomads and then like, but I want to have a base. It's like, that's legit and that's okay. So it's either you're becoming a slomad, so you're not moving every week or every few days. You can move every 3, 4, 6 months from one place to another. Or you can do like we do, kind of home base, then back. Just try it out. And you don't have to start with 2-3 months. You can start with shorter. The only thing is that the longer you go, the cheaper it gets, because you anyway paid for a flight ticket. And once you also going as local as you can, it's also get cheaper because you know where are the best places, more affordable places. So it's a matter of trade-offs there.
Now, is part of the strategy also to leverage kind of these Airbnbs where, like, when you go there, you don't have to carry pots and pans and cooking and all this stuff, that some of this stuff is already built in, that kind of overhead is already built into where you're staying? Or do you stay in like extended stay hotels?
Most of them, actually, I think all of them have everything that you don't need to carry that around. And if something is missing, then you go and buy a frying pan in the market, but it rarely happened, really.
So you're just carrying with you kind of your laptop, your computer stuff, your work stuff, and then clothing and just your normal stuff that you would like if you were going on vacation, but it just instead of a week, it's, 3 months.
Yes, it's the same, basically the same bag for whatever period that is. It's the same thing.
So now if somebody's considering going down this path or exploring it a little bit, how do you organize your finances to be able to pull this off?
So the thing is this, I'm always looking at long-term, what's your desired lifestyle or your vision, really long-term, think 20, 30 years from now. And I'm saying this because it's hard to think, for people to think this way. This is what I find from my experience. So when you're looking at your, I have a roadmap that I developed where you first look at that vision. So I call it design your future lifestyle. And then you're breaking backwards what you need to do today to reach those lifestyles. So if you plan to have a trip every year, as example, for 2 to 3 months, you put that on that budget and you add in the trip next year, but you also add in the trip for 10 years from now. Now, of course, that sounds ridiculous, but it's better to plan for this instead of not planning for this. So you can start to save and invest for that particular goal right away. So if I go back to the roadmap, after you design your vision, I go with the clients and people over very basic terms where I help them upgrade their financial knowledge. So, you know, the 20-80 rule, so the 80-20 rule. So you are learning or putting focus on 20% of the knowledge or things that you need to do, and you get 80% of the results. So this would be about your financial knowledge. Then you learn how to control your numbers. So you're basically creating a plan here, right? You want to have all these trips and have this flexible lifestyle. So you need to understand how to do your net worth. You need to understand how to budget, how to manage your cash flow to categorize it. So I'm going over this. And then eventually you have the plan of execution. You want all these things to happen, right? So you basically know how much money you need to save and invest and in which asset and which kind of investment to reach those goals. So you have everything mapped out. You're feeling very confident. Okay, I can do this. I'll reach this. I'll reach this. And you know even when you reach those things. That's the short explanation.
So you're not really kind of saying buy stocks or, you know, Bitcoin looks good now. You're not giving them kind of granular investment advice. You're giving them more of a strategy on how to think about their money and how to budget.
Yes, because it's so individual that you can't have a cookie cutter one size fits all. You really can't have it. But from my experience, and you know, I can say from my experience, this and this assets give these kind of returns. So maybe you should go with this. And then I'm thinking with people or with clients about this, these kind of things. This is what's happening on my conversations. But I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a financial coach. So I will point them to the right directions. However, I'm all in favor of take responsibility over your life and your money, and you can do it. Okay. It's about empowering people to do it by themselves, and take responsibility over their investments also. Now, it's not that scary once you know the basics.
Right. And then what is this a best fit for that worker who doesn't have to, who isn't retired necessarily and is just living off of, a pile of money, but it's that person that has a job maybe or works freelance or contract in a way that it doesn't really matter where they live. And in today's world, that's happening more and more often.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It fits those people the most. Although people with, and regular office jobs can still do some of that. If they're planning for workations, you don't have to go all in. You can still plan that. This roadmap that I said can work for any lifestyle that you want for yourself. I personally know more about the remote work and digital nomad world, but this can work for everybody.
So when did kind of the light bulb go off for you when you were like, you know what, this is something that not only that we're enjoying as a family, but this is something that I want to share with other people?
So as I said, I'm being really passionate about these topics long, long ago. And about 3 years ago, there was a time where I had my company, as I said, a company in China. I was ready to do something new. Okay, what should that be? And that was when we were traveling in Portugal. Yes. And this is when I hired my first VA and I came up with the concept and started working on this. And that grew sense more and more. And I'm very happy for this choice, obviously, because it's something that I really love to do and helping people with this, to design the lifestyle and then make sure or building that strategy or roadmap for them to reach that.
So now what does the engagement look like with you? Is this kind of a subscription that I'm buying to your service where I'm kind of tapping into your knowledge base? Or is this something that I'm buying for a period of time? I'm buying a book. What am I getting if I plug into the free financial self kind of community?
So it's a program that I run. And it depends on how much time you want to commit. And I have the programs from 3 days to 1 year. So people can choose whatever fits them. The 1 year is more of an ongoing intensive part at the beginning and then ongoing tracking, you know, really take somebody by hand and showing them everything they need to do. And I make sure that they're on plan. I have a medium one where it's more of just the intensive part and then the tracking and ongoing they can do by themselves. The super fast one, which is the 3 day one, is like, we do the program, you get everything you need, and now you go, you have all the information you need. So you can go, you can go and execute that plan.
And then for you, what has been kind of the most rewarding part? Do you have a story you can share of somebody who went through the program that is now kind of living the life they dreamed about? You don't have to name their name, but maybe give a kind of the background and of the story.
Sure. So I had a client, he works in China, and he wants to be location dependent and digital nomad. Now, he's not there yet. However, he did my program about a year ago, and I spoke with him a few weeks ago, and he was clueless about investments and what should he do with his money. He just got a new position, so a raise, and you know, he's like, okay, what's the next thing for my money? How do I make this build the life that I want for myself? And a year and something after the program, he's all on it. He learned about more stock portfolio and real estate investment, and he's investing by himself. And it was so great to see that I was able to empower him to take responsibility and understand about those things and really move on with his life for whatever he's desired. So that was very satisfying for me.
Do you find that after talking with you and maybe exploring these kind of extended visits to around the world, that people kind of come to the conclusion that life isn't about work, life isn't about making money, but it's life is about kind of finding happiness in this travel and then people and kind of getting more plugged into the world rather than just kind of their own short-sightedness?
So this... You nailed it. It's all about this. It's about happiness first. And this whole roadmap and plan that I mentioned is not for investing money for making money. It's not for that sake. It's for specific goals that are important for you so you can make the right decision and have the right priority towards the life that you want for yourself. Essentially, being a happy person, right? That's what we all want. So yes, it's much more important.
Now, are you finding when you're talking to people around the world that is becoming more important to folks, especially young people, that is what they're looking for? They're not so much looking for that kind of accumulation of wealth, but they're trying to accumulate experiences more nowadays?
Definitely. That's the way it works. And you know, with all the companies that we have around us, like Uber and Airbnbs, you basically need to own less and less with these things because you can just rent or hire whatever the services that you need or whatever you need. So yeah, we're definitely moving to that direction.
So now if you were to put together a toolkit for these folks that want to live this kind of lifestyle, we've talked about Airbnb and maybe there's competitors for there. You've mentioned virtual assistants. What are some of the kind of tools and resources that the folks that want to go down this path are, what are kind of must-haves and what are nice-to-haves?
So I'd say the first thing is going over your vision and really understand where you want to go. Once you know where you want to go, you can start using finances in your favor, because things like compound interest for many, many years will be worth a lot of money along the road. So the sooner you start, the better. So, but that's only happens with time. So I'd say it's not a tool, but it's a tip. The sooner you start, the better, because that will be much, much easier for you later on. And don't, now the problem is that it's never really urgent, that we don't like to deal with our money. Like, we postpone it. It's like, okay, it can wait for tomorrow, but then you're losing on your time, and that can make a big difference. So it's really, really important. Think long-term, plan, and use time at your favor.
So that's the biggest thing, is take advantage of compounding. What about other resources? Yes. Like, so do you have to be a ninja at Airbnb? You got to be a ninja at hiring, you know, using Fiverr or Upwork or one of these programs?
No, not at all. Every person build their own life. I also support and highly recommend tracking your finances and your net worth. I do this every month. I publish this on my on social media, if it goes up or down. This is how you know how, if you're doing, if the way that you're managing it is really working or not. Okay, if it's consistently going up, even though you maybe you have some months that are down, you still know that you're in the right direction. So that gives a lot of confidence. So tracking your net worth is something highly recommended. It really makes a difference to know where you are.
Now,
and then you move on from there.
Is there a minimum amount of money you have to pull this off, or is like, should you save up $100,000 first before you begin, or is this something you can start at any kind of point you are in the socioeconomic scale?
So it depends what you want for yourself. That's about the vision. If you want to live in, if you want to move to Thailand, it will be very, very cheap, and maybe you can do it now. If you want to, I don't know, another example.
But if you want
retirement in New York City,
it'll be more.
That will be very expensive.
So you just have to choose kind of the part of the world, and then just budget, kind of research what that is. And then just kind of build your plan along those lines.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. If somebody wants to get a hold of you or connect with you and your community, what's the website?
The website is freefinancialself.com, and I prepared special giveaway for the listeners. Okay. So this is, I spoke about the importance of net worth, of calculating your net worth. So I have a special Google Sheet with a link that you can download and do it yourself monthly. I have all my clients do it. And that's on freefinancialself.com/HVR.
Great. Well, thank you again for being so generous and sharing your story today. You're doing important work and we appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Lee. It was a pleasure being here. Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.